glory. And we will give you. And we will give you. And we will give you. The victory. Give God the glory.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. So let's give God. So let's give. So let's give God all of the praise.
Give God the glory.
Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Victory. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. So let's give God. So let's give. So let's give God all of the praise.
Yes.
Glory, glory,
glory,
the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to to His name.
Perception of giving glory to his name. I'm going to give glory to his name, or hallelujah. God is intentional, and I want to be intentional in my praise back to him every time. I want him to know that when I prayed to him that I wasn't just rubbing my eyes or trying to wipe some sweat off my forehead, but Lord, I am really praying to you. I'm earnestly praying to you. I'm not ashamed to pray to you. I'm not ashamed to worship you. I'm not ashamed to be in church on a Sunday morning when everybody else is sleeping in and having their time. Lord, this is your time. I want to give it to you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's my intention today. And I believe it's the intention of everyone in here. This morning we're going to talk, this is going to be a leadership Sunday school lesson. And being that said, God is intentional. And everyone in here is a leader in some shape or form. So we're going to get into our text this morning. It's in 1 Samuel 25, verses 23 through 28 and 32 through 34. I'm going to read the New King James Version. It's very similar to the one above the screen. It says, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, 'Oh, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to you, my Lord, let it be given to the young men and women who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days.' Then David said unto Abigail, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me.'" And this is our focus verses this morning. It says, "And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me from this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." It's in difficult times family leaders must step forward and make peace in their homes. And this is the call to every one of us here today. You can be seated at this time. A Nobel Peace Prize is one of the world's most prestigious awards, and multiple U.S. presidents have been given this honor and this award, like Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Carter, and Barack Obama. Our spiritual leaders are most likely won't be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, but many sure could qualify for what they do, their work towards peace in our communities and in our churches, and their biblical teaching that gives hope to the hopeless, and their unselfish giving as they serve the less fortunate. To those who think conflict and chaos is their calling, and we all know somebody in our family or in the workplace who does think that chaos is their calling, and I could testify to that. They offer a transforming relationship with the Prince of Peace. This Nobel Peace Prize is treasured by those who receive it, but more importantly, is the spiritual work that godly leaders do on a weekly basis, every one of us. Their eternal reward will be great, far greater than any earthly prize. The enemy has an agenda, though, and we need to be wise to this agenda. And it's our responsibility as leaders in our homes to do everything in our power to keep our families strong, unified, and grounded in the truth. That means setting up a wall, setting up barriers if you have children. That means setting up barriers in my prayer closet as I pray over my family who are outside of my home that I have no control over. I need to set up spiritual barriers every day, a covering over them. God, protect them. Lord, those hedge of thorns. I read this in a book years ago. Pray a hedge of thorns over your family. What the enemy tried to use to mock Jesus with is that very thing that you could use as a protection over your family. It's what they crown him with, but that's also with something that can keep the enemy away from your family and who you pray for. So don't be afraid and get specific and say, Lord, I want to pray. I want to plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I want to pray a hedge of thorns around my family. I want to pray for your covering over my family. We don't have any control of what your family member does outside of this umbrella and that protection that you pray for them daily. But it is our responsibility to continually to pray for their covering over them. And I want them to be shadowed daily by this covering. It is my heart's desire for that. Because there's so much freedom and joy in this covering. And there is the distraction and the intent of the enemy to see them, to get their eyes away from this covering and what the goodness of God underneath this covering to get them to be enticed outside of their covering. But there is peace. There is joy. There is a sense of tranquility. There is things that you can't describe. The peace that passes all understanding shall keep your mind and heart at ease through his name. That is in that covering. And when they experience that covering and they get distracted and the enemy does this and entices your loved ones and your family members, may they realize and turn back to say, you know what, there was a peace that I never had before, that when I walked away from that covering, I want to get back to that peace that God has for me. I want to get back to where what my mother and father and my aunt and uncle have been praying over me for daily. That is so much better. It's okay to pray for a family member that's not in peace, that is living outside of the will of God. May they be so miserable that they run back through the doors of this building, that they bust their nose on this altar. May they just get to a place to say, Lord, I want to be covered like I was covered before. I want to be underneath your umbrella like I was underneath your umbrella before. Because what the world enticed me with all these years did nothing but rob me of precious time that I could be in your house and spend it in fellowship with you. That is not part of the lesson, but I felt led to say it. So there's your bonus for today. Everyone's going to experience highs and lows, trials and hard times. Sometimes one's family member's crisis can thrust the family into a downward spiral. One person in the house that has a crisis is going to affect everybody. It happens. When we see a church family member spiritually sick, everybody feels it. And that's what the beauty of the church body is for us to, we are supposed to feel it. We are supposed to know and not turn a blind eye to that because that helps us to be aware. That's what the beauty of the body is for us to be aware of what each other is going through. That's how we encourage each other. That's how we propel ourselves forward in the kingdom of God to get to heaven someday. It isn't just to punch a clock and to say, oh, I'm gonna do my time and sit in my seat, but I have a real need. I have a real struggle, and I have a church body that is going to lift me up and to encourage me. That's what motivates me to come to the house of God. And when everything is going okay for me, there is somebody else that has been in my situation that I need to go, and I'm motivated to encourage them today. That is my motivation. We are going to move each other forward, hand in hand, side by side. That is what I'm motivated. That is so many of the benefits that people, that's what the enemy wants you to be distracted and wants you to get away from. They want you to be enticed. Well, who's going to be playing at 12 o'clock or what's going to be happening? When's your tea time or the weather's nice? I could be doing so much outside, but there is nothing that can compare to the presence of God that we feel every day, his covering in my life every day. I wouldn't trade it for anything. There is no amount of money that can be deposited in my bank account that can compare to what we experience every day. But we all deal with reality. Life happens. Crises occur, even in a misunderstanding and in a home. Have you ever had a crisis happen in your home where it was a total misunderstanding? And you're like, man, this was stressful. I lost sleep at night. I felt like I got kicked in the stomach. And it wasn't just for a moment. I felt this way when I woke up. I felt this way when I got home from work. This is a real issue. But that's the enemy's job. It is our job to pray, to take this matter to the Lord in prayer, and to make an effort to be the peacemaker in our home. If we do our job, if we maintain that relationship with God that He has called us to do, we are able to go from victory to victory. Give God the glory. He will give you the victory. He will give you confidence. He will do it for you again and again. And this is something that came to my mind Wednesday night. The enemy is going to try to bring this up to you. That God is only going to fulfill part of what He has intended for you and part of your promise, that He is not abundant and He's not going to facilitate everything. That is a lie from the devil. And I felt this Wednesday night. I'm not here to tell you God is abundant. He is very abundant and He has more than enough. He has way more than enough. The enemy is screaming in your ears and say, you are not going to get everything that God intends for you to have, but you're going to get by and you're going to manage what you lack. God is not intending you to manage what you lack, but He intends to give you everything in an abundance to where it's going to fall out, oozing, coming out of your pockets. It's going to affect people in such a positive way. I don't know about you, but this is a Sunday school lesson, and the actual evangelistic service is the next hour, but I want to be led by God every time I stand behind the pulpit here. I don't want to waste an opportunity in a moment. I don't want it to be, hey, well, Tom said a word. No, I want to leave here and say, God said a word. God spoke to me today. I needed it. He took care of my need. I needed this today, and I receive it. And it's just as important when we hear a word from God and He imparts something to us that we respond to it. It's our responsibility. He is ready. He is prepared every Sunday. He is more prepared than anybody or anything else here today. He was ready for this a long time ago. He was ready for this before your last trial, before your last home crisis came up. He was ready for this day. He goes, I want you to walk out of here differently than the way you came in. I'm going to empower you. You are a spiritual warrior in your home and your family. You are called by God. You are called to stand up. Just because every person in your family, that particular person in your home did not man up or did not step up, that's okay because God is not lacking. He has equipped you and He is making you a warrior in your home. He's going to make you a warrior in your workplace. He's going to make you a warrior in your community. That's His intention. He is an intentional and deliberate God. You are the peacemaker in your home. There is the Prince of Peace. It is such a powerful thing. What He is able to do in and through us as long as we allow Him. And being that peacemaker in your home, when you strive and make an effort to make peace, you are a spiritual warrior. Make no doubt about it. It isn't somebody that gets up and shouts and screams and pounds their fist. That peacemaker, that one that has that relationship with God daily, that goes daily in sincere, heartfelt prayer, God equips and empowers that person, clothes them in righteousness, and says, I give you more than enough and a more than abundantness to take on today's tests and trials and chaoses. It is no match for an empowered, spirit-filled, blood-bought man and woman of God. I haven't even got to my first point yet. He strategically placed everybody, every leader in a family. He's empowered somebody to be that leader. When confusion and chaos and problems bring unrest to a home, a wise and prayerful leader has the ability to bring back peace and rest. God has given you the ability. He has equipped you. It is an awesome thing. God equips, He supplies, and He's abundant in it. And I'm so thankful for that. When He's empowered me the way that He has, there is nothing impossible for me to do. There is no impossible situation that I can face. There is no pop-up. There is no phone call. There is no crisis too great that God can't take care of, that He can't empower me to deal with on a daily basis. We can have a new pop-up every day, but God gives me the power, the grace, and the ability by His mercy that is new, that He pours out every day. I could face that trial. I could face that pop-up, that unexpected phone call every day. He has empowered me. He has equipped me every day.
And I have a boldness and a confidence because he's done it before, he'll do it again. The enemy's job is to distract us, to let us not think about the times that God has done this in the past, but God has done it over and over. He is an encore God. He comes back and his final act is not done yet. He is going to do it again today in your life, and he's going to do it when the next pop-up and the next crisis happens in your life. You don't have to worry about it. You just need the confidence and the boldness that God is going to do it. And to let God do a work in and through you. It is not me or my own ability that I'm going to stand before you today. It is not you and your own ability that God is going to equip you to take care of every crisis and every pop-up in your life and in your home, in your workplace. No matter what, somebody's going to walk out of here bolder and more powerful than they've ever been in their life. You've come to church for 20, 30, 40 years, and you've never felt this kind of power before. You felt empowered by his spirit when he has filled you with his spirit. But you're going to walk out of here today with a boldness and a power to just be a peace in a chaotic storm. There is chaos every day. You get on every CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, there is chaos. But you're going to walk into every situation in your life. You're going to walk into every group, into every environment, and every culture that you're still walking into, and peace is going to go with you. Peace is going to go before you. His goodness and mercy is going to follow you. He is going to empower you with boldness and confidence in everything that you need today to get you to where you need to be tomorrow. Maybe it's not, you can't wait till tomorrow. He's going to give it to you before you leave here today. It's going to happen. It has already happened. Lord, I pray, Lord, that everybody underneath the sound of my voice will receive, Lord, what you're pouring out from heaven right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 This is a story of Nabal and his wife. That Nabal was an evil and wicked man. He was a cantankerous man. He was a man that acquired wealth. He was a selfish man. But his wife, she had this temperament, this godly wisdom, this temperament to deal with situations. She endured things. What the enemy has tried to put you through is building you up. What was intended to tear you down is giving you strength that you've never had before. You got this endurance that you've never had before. You're like, how in the world was I able to make it through that day? I could honestly say that 3 years ago. How was I able to make it through that night? When I walked home and I went in my room and I cried out to God and I laid on my bed. That was 3 years ago. I look back and he has empowered me. He has given me the ability to get through that. That same God is right here to give you the power and ability to do anything. Philippians 4 and 7, I don't want to miss an opportunity to give you the word because that word needs to go forth, and that word needs to keep you. If you forget about the title of this lesson, may that word be pierced in your heart. It says in Philippians 4 and 7, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I could testify to that. Make this your verse every day. If you were lacking peace in your life, Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I may need to read it again. I may need to say it again till my ears receive it and I believe it. Because I believe too much of what the enemy tells me throughout the week. I've given too much time and attention to what he has pushed and pressed into my eyes, into my ears. I need to press into my ears the word of God. Because that is the only truth that I'm going to cling to that's going to get me to where I am, to where he wants me to be every day. He stabilizes the hearts and minds of his children. Every one of us. He gives us stability and a peace that we are not able to acquire on our own. It was for a period of time that all went well with Nabal's shepherds. David's men and Nabal's household enjoyed mutual peace and a friendly relationship. The conflict came during harvest time, during sheep shearing time. And David was a man where he didn't ask for any money, but he stayed watch over Nabal's possessions. And he didn't look for anything, but he just was looking for his men to just, he was with the Nabal's men,
why they were sleeping at night and they were up all, David's men were up all night. And he says, I'm not asking for anything. I just want to see if they could participate in what's going on. And then the wicked Nabal says, you know what, get out of my face. Who do you think you are, son of Jesse? Get out of my way. And this is a unique situation, how this was, how this unfolded. And a lot of times the enemy wants to get our focus on the troublemaker, but God's focus is on the peacemaker. When you see chaos, when you see that coworker, it's a coworker that keeps coming to my mind. It's not always somebody in my house. It is somebody that will try to wreak havoc in your life, to try to just put you back on your heels and just try to get you to not be yourself. God wants to equip you with that power and that peace to where the enemy gets put back on its heels and you change the environment and the culture in the area that you walk into every day. God's desire is to empower you. It's not a one-time thing where on September 18th in 2004 that he filled me with the Spirit and empowered me. It's a daily empowering that he wants to give me. There is a peace that he wants to give to me. There is success and prosperity that he wants to give to me. I'm gonna have to go right ahead here, and because I believe that God wants us to spend some time in prayer. It was the man of the house that fell short of this leadership that this family needed, but God wasn't going to be undone by a man who wouldn't step up or to man up to a situation that presented itself. God prepared the heart of a woman to step into the purpose that God had for her family, and her choices and priority were pleasing to God, which were opposite of her husband's. Her husband didn't man up, so God put a leader in the home. It could be a mother, a father, it could even be a grandparent. Don't take it lightly just because your kids are outside of your home that you're not a leader in your home. You are a spiritual leader in your home. And God has empowered you to be that prayer warrior, that Prince of Peace is going to come in, and every time your children or grandchildren walk through the doors, they're going to experience and feel something that they don't experience when they're in their own home. That's a peace that passes all understanding through our hearts and minds, which is in Christ Jesus. That is something so attractive in this chaotic world that we live in. It was several U.S. presidents who have won this Nobel Peace Prize we talked about earlier. Whether or not we can identify with these men as godly, God has the power to guide the leaders in our government. But this will only happen if we're willing to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for leaders as leaders in our home, and we need to pray for each other here today. But we need to pray for leaders in government, that God will give them peace, that God will put the right advisors in their life, that God will give them peace in a chaotic situation. I know that there are people that are praying for our president every day, because I don't know of any man that endures has put up what he's put up with these last few years. We need to continue to pray for him and never take it for granted the world we live in this country that we live in. I only left the country one time. It was in 2011. I went to South America. When I saw U.S. soil on that GPS and on the back of that seat in front of me, I was so happy to be in the United States. I didn't care who was president. I am very thankful for this country, and I'm not the only one who said it. We live in the greatest country in the world, bar none. And I don't need to go, none of us need, just take my word for it, you don't need to leave the country to know that. Continue to pray for your leaders on a daily basis. I love this story. It says, every afternoon a young girl would go to a pastor's home, not to play with any children, but to sit on the couch. The pastor's wife would ask the young girl if she needed anything. Her answer was always no. The pastor's wife let the girl know that if she needed to talk, that she would stop what she was doing and sit down with her and listen. The young girl sat there, didn't want anybody to talk to. She was just comfortable sitting there in the living room. After a while, the young girl would leave. This went on for several days. Finally, one day, the pastor's wife sat down with the young girl and asked why she came to the house just to sit. The young girl replied, I love to sit here because I feel peace in this house. That is such, I don't know what that ranks up there in the one of the most powerful things that we can help facilitate this environment when we pray with our relationship with God every day. I want to see my kids still come to my house when they grow up and grow old and they leave. I want them to come and be welcome. I want the first thing that they feel when they walk through the doors is peace that passes all understanding, because they live in an environment that we lived in when we were their age, and it is not any easier, any better from 25, 30 years ago when we left home when we were younger or older or 40, 50 years old. It depends how old you are right now. But our homes need to be a place of refuge when anybody comes in. It could be a daughter, a son, a family member. It could be a neighbor. When we make it a priority, everyone around us will feel it. Psalms 34 and 7 says, calls for us to pursue peace. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Not only will I have strength to be a peacemaker in a chaotic situation, but he's going to bless me with peace during that chaotic situation and long after that situation passes. Because when she walked away from that situation, when she gave that peace offering, in her mind, and she's the only one that knew this, that her sons could have been killed the next day. Her servant sons could have been killed. She could have been killed. Women could have been killed the next day. God will give you a boldness to be that peacemaker. He will give you that strength to be a peacemaker. And it's not just going to affect you, but it's going to affect everyone around you. This is where that thing where it just overflows. That effort, it takes a lot to strive for peace. It's an endeavoring thing. That means I have to make an effort for it. I love this verse in Psalms 37:11. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Meek, by definition, says this: enduring injury, patience and without resentment, submissive, not violent or strong. You are enduring. You have endured. But God is making you an overcomer through the whole process. He is blessing you with peace. You're going to inherit the earth. You got better. You're going to succeed. You're going to go from victory to victory in your life. I want it just to be an encouragement to one person today. Those with a meek spirit are the ones who will inherit the earth. They are the ones who experience success and fulfillment in this life. I'm going to close with this if we could stand. Leaders have the choice to be meek or overpowering. Every one of us are going to be faced with this at some time. There's nothing more precious than peace in a home, our workplace, or in our community. As Christians, it's up to us to cultivate that. Sometimes our human nature focuses on that troublemaker, but God focuses on the one who he is empowering, the ones who are endeavoring to make peace in a chaotic situation. God is aware, and he has a plan, and he's intentional, and he chose you to be that leader, to be that peacemaker, a spiritual warrior because of your relationship with him, and don't you forget that. And I'm going to, just as we have a time of prayer, and this is a few minutes before we usually wrap up, if you need prayer because you're stuck in a chaotic situation in a moment right now, I'm going to ask if you would come for prayer. Or if you have been enduring a situation for a long time and you just need God's peace to be made manifest in this situation, you need wisdom and discernment for a situation that you have no control over, I invite you to take a moment to come. And there are mentors in this church who have been and experienced difficult situation that have been in chaotic situations, and God has equipped this church with overcomers who have already done that for people right here today that may need that mentorship, that may need that prayer warrior to help them in their present situation. So if we could have a time and just a moment for prayer for that, and maybe if nobody comes forward, if you could just be an intercessor and pray for that particular person that maybe just come to your mind right now and pray for the next service ahead in Jesus' name.